Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Tennessee Volunteers punched their ticket to Omaha yesterday with a 15-6 drubbing of the LSU Tigers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson, who covers the Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Absolutely. Glad to join.
So, Mike, let's start with Tony Vitello and this angle here. Just the job that he's done year four under his leadership in this program with the Vols. How do you kind of put into words the journey it's taken for Tony Vitello and this group to get to this point where now they are headed to Omaha for the College World Series?
Well, it's funny because my job is to put things into words, but it's almost hard to put into words what Tony Vitello has done. Just in the time frame, you know, yesterday was his 200th game as the Tennessee head coach, and they clinched a College World Series berth in that game. Obviously, last year was shortened, but you know, he took a team that's been kind of the cellar dweller doormat of the SEC for, you know, 15-ish years, and they're now going to the College World Series, and they built it fast because even in year two, they were in the NCAA tournament playing in a regional final against North Carolina. And a year later, you know, they looked like they had a really good squad last year that could have gone to Omaha as well. So it's just, I think the rapid rise is what's so impressive about what Vitello has done here.
Okay, so you had a piece, I think last week, Mike, but I get my weeks mixed up, you know, about the commitment that Tennessee wants to make. I know Danny White has talked since then. Do you have, right now, would you say, Tennessee fans, no need to worry. All is well, even if LSU decides, you know what, actually that is the guy we want. He's not going. Like, what's your confidence level that Tony Vitello is going to be the long-term head coach at Tennessee?
I don't know if I can assign a percentage to it. I don't think A&M was ever a thing where I considered a serious threat for Tony Vitello to go to Texas A&M. LSU obviously is one of the most premier jobs in the country, and about any coach would consider it in some capacity. But I think where the confidence has to rest with Tony Vitello being at Tennessee long-term is in what the administration is preparing to do, in making a big salary commitment to both Vitello and his staff members, and also to the facilities, because those are the things that kind of need to take place to secure Tony Vitello long-term. And to me, that's where the confidence has to rest is that Tennessee, by all accounts and by all reports that we've had at the News Sentinel, is that's exactly what they're preparing to do. Is make any necessary commitment to keep Tony Vitello in Knoxville.
Do you think LSU possibly pivots to him? I mean, he hasn't really been one of the prominent names thrown around down there, but do you think that's possible?
I mean, LSU got a pretty up-close look at what he can do this weekend. So who knows if that has any effect on it. But, no, the vibe I've gotten down there, too, is that he's not necessarily the top guy. There's probably a few guys that they're courting in advance of Vitello, but at the same time, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. But I do think at this point, more so than probably a month ago, I'm confident that Tony Vitello is at Tennessee next season more than I was about a month ago.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, as you look at Tennessee moving ahead here to Omaha and this lineup, who was just, I mean, they were dropping bombs left and right yesterday against LSU. How dangerous is this lineup as they head now into the College World Series offensively? And we've talked about also today on the show going to a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark in Omaha as well. How much of a concern would that be for you if you're a Tennessee fan?
I think the lineup's built to win just about anywhere. I think that's what's made them so steady and so good. They have a lot of doubles hitters. They've obviously been hitting the ball out of the park a lot more of late. I think they hit 16 in their 5 NCAA tournament games so far. But to me, what's really taken this lineup to a different level is it's become a 1-9 deal. Jordan Beck really put together a good super regional out of the 7 spot. Connor Pavloni in the 9 hole has been hitting a lot of homers and having a lot of power in his game. And Pete Durkee has been steadily rising statistically for the last month and a half. And those are the 7-8-9 guys. And when those guys are getting it done, this whole lineup is a whole lot different. Because kind of the 1-2-3 guys have been very consistent throughout the season, especially a guy like Jake Rucker. So that's big. But, you know, when you're talking a pitcher park, too, I think that plays well to Tennessee because Tennessee's pitchers are strike throwers, and when you throw strikes, you can give up some homers. So the park might play well to their pitching staff as well, maybe as much as anything.
What about that and the rotation, Mike? Obviously, I think Tidwell, I know you and I have talked about this. I mean, he probably has the best stuff. He's a guy who, as he develops, is probably going to be an elite guy. Was really good yesterday, save for a couple mistakes. But obviously, Heflin, you got the crafty lefty. You got Dallas. How do you think Vitello approaches that going into, you know, this first phase of the College World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I'd assume it probably looks the same as it has throughout the postseason so far, which is Chad Dallas first, Blade Tidwell second, Will Heflin third. I mean, these are the series because the first little pod in Omaha is built a lot like a regional, so you got to win your first game or else you're really fighting against it. And if there's one hole on this Tennessee roster, it's pitching depth. So they're not a team that can afford to drop to the loser side of a bracket immediately because they might not have the pitching to get back out of it. So I would assume it falls in that exact order because Dallas has been so consistent all season. And you're referencing Tidwell. I mean, he's obviously the future Friday night guy. Looks like a future first, second-round pick on the MLB draft, which he's eligible for next year. So I think that's kind of the order you've got to go with. But, you know, for all you know, I mean, Tony Vitello's got a lot of trust in Will Heflin. So if there's a matchup that's right, yeah, I could see him moving it. But I think for now that's the order that's settled.
So, Mike, if you watched the game in our listening audience this weekend, you would have noticed, I mean, the atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson Stadium and really outside of Lindsey Nelson Stadium as well was awesome. I mean, there are people everywhere. Obviously, that town and that university has really embraced this team. What do you think the last couple of weeks and this run that Tennessee has been on in the NCAA tournament, what do you think that's done for the popularity of college baseball for this program?
I think it's been massive. I think it's certainly been building slowly. And I think last year's team had a chance to really capture this fan base as well. But, I mean, everyone knows that, you know, Tennessee football has been down for so long, and every fan base loves latching onto a winner. And what Tennessee baseball has given Tennessee fans is a winner, but also a winner that, you know, wins in dramatic fashion, plays the game hard with a little bit of intensity and attitude to it. And I think that's really been something that this fan base has latched onto aggressively. Because it's a team that plays the game aggressively. And, you know, when you've got a winner that plays the game hard, I think it's easy for a fan base to jump on with them.
Are you sitting in a courtyard with the birds and squirrels right now, Mike?
I am sitting outside, yes, getting my Snow White on.
There you go.
Very nice, very nice. We've talked about this everything with Tennessee. It pivots back to, okay, what – could this mean for football? And obviously, this isn't going to help Josh Heupel necessarily. But I have watched like the reaction to this, and I've thought, man, just what if football does get good at some point? You know, I mean, how starved is this fan base for something like that, and how impactful can this fan base be? Do you think that this has any benefits beyond the baseball program? Even, you know, you make a little bit more money with some suites if you build them in left field or whatever the case may be. Like, do you think there's any sort of positive effect on the athletic department at large from this program?
I think overall, any time that you have a kind of a bell cow winner program going for you, it's good news for the athletic department just because it brings in positive attention. And Tennessee football hasn't generated positive attention in quite some time. So I don't think financially there's a massive impact. But I think overall morale of a fan base and an attitude toward, you know, Tennessee Volunteers athletics, I think that's a place where it can have an effect. But I think what's probably really interesting about this is what we just talked about with the fan base latching on. I think that shows what will happen if when football becomes even consistently competitive again. I think that shows you the way that the Tennessee fan base is going to jump on board. And I assume that's an exciting thing for a Josh Heupel and all of his coaching staff members to see. Probably add some fuel to the fire of trying to get something built because you see how the fan base will jump on with you.
So are you heeding, you know, the College World Series pleas for media to not come out and please don't cover this event, or are you going this week?
I booked a flight in the seventh inning yesterday, so I'm going.
Boom. Please, what day are you going?
I am going on Saturday because Tennessee, I believe, opens Sunday.
Very nice.
Here we go.
Don't stay in the media hotel, by the way. If it's what it was 2 years ago, don't do it.
It is a Candlewood Suites this year, but Joe,
don't
you trained me well. I am a Marriott loyalist. I have booked a Courtyard by Marriott about 5 miles outside Omaha.
I'm absolutely beaming with pride right now.
Joe Rexroad, with pride. Just the look on his face, just so proud of Mike here on the show.
I was taught well.
That's right. That's right. Mike, really appreciate you taking time to join us. It's been such a fun story to watch with this Tennessee baseball team, and looking forward to continuing to watch it as they head into Omaha here. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. It is crazy. Like, back to Corey's point, like the College World Series just being like, yeah, many fans as you want, come on in. We don't want really any coverage of this. Just stay at home.
I mean, like, the email we got was basically don't come. And then it's like, but if you still want to apply, here's the link. And the thing is, like, I'm not shocked that everything would still be on Zoom.
Sure.
We're not quite there yet. But even like to his point with them, like even shooting from different areas, you are going to have a full crowd of people next to each other. Right? That doesn't
make any sense.
Whatever, man.
And an event that, I mean, let's be honest, it still needs all the coverage it can get. I mean, it's college baseball, as fun as this is, college baseball is not really in the same conversation as basketball and football.
And it's going to be competing this year, as we've discussed,
right,
with, you know, the postseasons of NHL and NBA, where in most years it would not be.
Just
a
mind-boggling decision on that front. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on Tennessee making it to the College World Series. How big a deal is this in the Vols fan base? What do you think it could look like in Omaha with the Vols making their first trip there since 2005? We'll get back into that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Father's Day, ESPN 102.5 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of fathers who are serving on the front lines, including in the military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. This week, we will air those submissions via call-ins, text messages, our website, and on social media as well. Visit thegamenashville.com now for more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Tennessee punching their ticket to the College World Series for the first time since 2005. Tony Vitello in year four, getting this team to Omaha. And as Mike Wilson pointed out in the last segment, I mean, it's been a pretty quick rise for this program. I would have been very interested to see what they could have done last year had the entire season have been played. And now this year, they've been pretty consistent from start to finish, 50 wins on the year as opposed to 16 losses. And look, they just wiped the floor with LSU this weekend. It was a good game on Saturday, and then yesterday they totally destroyed LSU in a series where I thought with LSU coming in and the way that they won against Oregon, you know, the talent that we know that LSU program has, I thought this could be a really interesting series for Tennessee. But to their credit, I mean, they pretty much handled it from start to finish. It got a little hairy on Saturday, but there was no doubt in that game yesterday who the better team was.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I mean, that was LSU's ace and shorter rest and all that stuff. And obviously they had to really battle to get out of their regional. But I thought that series could have been much more interesting. And the first game was. But again, Tennessee, whether it's a clutch hit that they need, we've seen that a lot late in games, or you know, a clutch shutdown inning from a reliever, Sean Hundley often doing that. They've been able to get it. So I thought yesterday was really just a bit of a statement for them. And, hey, this all could have been different if the Wright State game goes differently, because as Mike Wilson pointed out, you know, you get in the loser's bracket right away and that sort of setup, and now you're really reaching deep into your pitching, and this pitching has been injured this year, and that's not easy. But they've gotten it done, man, and they're just – They have that. I mean, anybody who makes Omaha, you probably say that, right? Like NC State right now, they just beat Arkansas. Like, okay. Most people are going to look at that and say, wow, what a break for Vanderbilt and everybody else on that side of the bracket. What a shocker. But also, NC State, like Michigan a couple years ago, maybe they are a team of destiny. I mean, anybody who gets to Omaha has that look. But Tennessee certainly has that look and has had it, I think, for a lot of the year.
So with that in mind, I mean, it was pretty obvious. If you watch the games this weekend, I mean, the environment at Lindsey Nelson Stadium was awesome. The environment on campus was awesome. There were people not even inside the stadium, just kind of lined up out there, either watching it on a TV or a big screen, or I mean, there were people all over the place on the campus at Tennessee in Knoxville. How big a deal do you think this is for Tennessee and their athletic department? But also, how much growth do you think we've seen in terms of the popularity of college baseball with Tennessee having the success that they've had so far this year?
Well, how many people are in the Tennessee fan base? Few million.
Yeah.
What percentage of those people are going to be watching this baseball team when they play Sunday? I bet you it's a real high percentage.
I bet it is,
right?
Too.
So does that mean that now they're going to start, like, following along, like, baseball recruiting and, you know, and, like, oh, can't wait for that big, you know, February midweek game against, you know, ETSU? Probably not. But, I mean, this right here, this event, this is where college baseball jumps up several notches to me in terms of the public consciousness. I know a lot of people watch Omaha that don't watch much else during the year.
Agreed.
And I think that this team and really this program, I mean, like Mike said last segment, you know, a couple years ago, year two, you get to the NCAA tournament. That was a big deal. I mean, I think that was a 14-year drought then that they ended. And it's the same year. It's like 05. You know, 05, last NCAA tournament, College World Series. I mean, they had not even been back to the tournament since then. And then last year, they were 16-2, and the season ends. So it's been building for this program. But now you get to this. I think there would be excitement and a need to keep Tony Vitello and all that stuff if they not made Omaha. But now Omaha is going to take everything to a different level.
Well, I think what we've learned from Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball for sure is they'll travel. The fan base will travel. I would expect Omaha, there'd probably be a pretty good number of Tennessee fans in Omaha coming up next week.
It's going to be really interesting because 2 years ago, I went out there once it got to the final series, and I was actually really impressed with Vanderbilt's showing. They had a great crowd, but they were still, I would say, outnumbered by Michigan. I mean, Michigan's another one of those. I mean, and look, even more so in the Big Ten, they don't care about Big Ten baseball.
No.
But Michigan has a huge fan base, has a huge following. So they had a team that goes to the, and boom, they show up. I mean, they showed up in Omaha big time. Tennessee, I will bet, is going to be the most represented fan base in Omaha. Maybe I'm wrong. Now, if Texas gets there and Texas has a game, I think, right? Texas can clinch it. They're not in yet. Another shade of orange UT with
they've been 37 times
yeah,
to Omaha.
With long-suffering football fans. And also it's, like, drivable for them. I mean, yeah. It's drivable from here too, but, like, it's a shorter drive, I assume? I guess I shouldn't make that assumption.
Depends
though.
On where you're coming Texas from in Texas,
a,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Austin to – I'll look that up during the break. But they'll be there a lot too if they get there. But I'll take this shade of orange as the most represented fans in Omaha right now. I'll put the bet down right now with anybody.
You're going to go? You're heeding the warning from the NCAA to stay away.
I don't think I'm going. I don't think I'm going.
This is crazy.
With that, yeah, I mean – we'll see how it goes. If Vanderbilt and Tennessee both get to the final series, it may be like, you know, it's like the David Ubbin wrote in The Athletic about Tennessee, the big orange tractor beam of Tony Vitello.
That's right.
Maybe, but at this point, probably not. But it's going to be a great event from a fan perspective. And for any Tennessee fan who hasn't been to that, it is awesome. Like, they do a great job with the whole thing.
So if you're a Tennessee fan and you've been kind of watching this Tony Vitello saga here, because there have been some worries from Tennessee fans that, all right, he's coming in here. Obviously, he's done a great job, but some pretty big programs have opened up. Texas A&M opened up. LSU obviously has an opening. After yesterday with Mineri being eliminated in their last game there, A&M has their job filled. And as you know, Mike pointed out in the last segment, I don't know how realistic that was ever going to be with Texas A&M. The LSU one to me continues to be interesting because, I mean, it's LSU baseball. It's basically, if not the top program in college baseball, it's one of the top programs in college baseball. They just had a front row seat to what Tony Vitello is able to do in the program that he's built. How concerned would you be if you're a Tennessee fan that maybe LSU comes calling and gives Tony Vitello something to think about in terms of his future? Or do you think, based on what he's been able to build so far and some comments made from Danny White about the commitment that they're going to have here at Tennessee for baseball, that if you're a Tennessee fan, you feel pretty good about his future and him being the long-term guy at Tennessee?
Well, Mike Wilson did bring up the good point, like, how could you not be impressed if you're LSU admin right now? And there's other names that have been more prominent, but I'd certainly give him a look. Here's a question for the Tennessee fans. If you could choose one of two things, you can win the national championship, but you lose him to LSU, or you go out quickly in Omaha, but you keep Tony Vitello for the long term. Which one are you picking right now?
Giving the natty.
Taking the natty?
Yeah.
That'd be a good poll question. Porth, put me down for a poll question. I'd like to see the results of that poll question, because I hear you. You like the natty. You're so close. Why? How do you not pick the natty? But if you keep Vitello, you might be in Omaha several times over the next few years and keep knocking on the door and get more chances at it. And if you lose him, you might go right back to, you know, the bottom half of the SEC.
Guarantee the banner.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Get the championship.
Get the banner, no question. Yeah. What do you think the poll results will be on that? Like 80-20?
Maybe 70-30.
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty close. Yeah, Tennessee fans do not want to lose Tony Vitello.
There's like some intense.
And they get mad when you talk about it.
There's intense feelings for him personally.
Yes.
From Tennessee, which I get. Like, he's
awesome.
Like, yeah, it's he's a fun coach to watch. He's obviously a very good coach. That's number one. That's most important. But it's like, you know, he's like one of them. Like, you know, it's kind of like Bruce Pearl to me a little bit. Right? The Tennessee fans just loved him. He's just kind of a wild man out there and
sweating through his orange suits.
Yeah. And he, you know, he paints his face. Well, he like paint his chest for like a.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like stuff like that. Like, that's something that Tony Vitello would do. Like, he connects with the fan base. But I hear you. National championship. Got a chance at a national championship? Never had one before.
Well, Christopher on Periscope says, no, you keep Vitello. He doesn't care.
I'm telling you, this will be a good poll question.
Maybe we'll put it up at some point. I don't know. I'm interested to see how that would go. Maybe the start of something truly special here. Like, I'm not going to get there yet because there's a lot that still has to happen. But can you imagine what a Tennessee and Vanderbilt final series would look like around here? Be awesome.
I mean, already, like, on Twitter, it's like, you know, like, both fan bases are saying the other side had like an easy route.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you had an. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Anybody who gets to this point, they've done some good stuff to get there. We'll try to be the peacekeepers for all the Vandy and Tennessee.
But I mean, the
baseball.
The idea of the popularity of college baseball has been an argument that's been. I mean, it's going to be going on for a few years around here. Like, every time Vanderbilt puts themselves in this situation, which at this point is a yearly basis for Tim Corbin and company. I mean, that's a constant talking point. Can you imagine what that would do for the popularity of college baseball around here if it's Tennessee and Vanderbilt?
Well, I mean, just with Tennessee being good, it helps the popularity. I have seen Tennessee fans on Twitter over the years just crap all over the College World Series or college baseball, and now that their team is in it, they're loving it.
Sure, of course. I mean, that's... Yes, and especially if it's a rival, and even I know that Tennessee and Vanderbilt don't always have the greatest. I mean, it's not a great football rivalry, right? But it's still it's an in-state.
It's
the other
a little bit better as of late.
Well, yeah, it has been good lately. That's true, but it's still like if the team that's in your state that's your rival to some extent has something great, then of course you're going to be like, yeah, no one cares about that. You can't make the argument no one cares about like football or basketball, right? But yes, there's a lot of Tennessee fans. I'm sure there could be some interesting, like, freezing cold takes tweets from, you know, Tennessee fans who are like, yes, Tony Vitello!
Just need to get a nice little still shot of the cigarette lady in there.
God.
Just firing one up.
That was fantastic. And did you see also the whole picture of it? It was like she's lighting up the Marlboro, and there's like a guy right behind her trying to like cover his mouth so he doesn't take in
inhale
the smoke.
Yes.
Yeah. Bless her heart.
Fun to have crowds back in sports.
Yes.
I'll say that.
And smoking sections.
And smoking sections. Robert on YouTube says, I would agree that Tennessee will be the largest crowd, and with a thought of eliminating Vanderbilt, that would be icing on the cake at that point.
Ooh, just think about that stadium if it's all Vanderbilt or Tennessee.
Yeah.
What would be the percentage? I bet you'd be about 70-30 Tennessee. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Vanderbilt fans might take issue with that. Maybe 65-35. But I bet you it would be at least that. About 2-1.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the College World Series and also get to this. Could this mean something good for the Tennessee football program as well? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Line drive. Caught! It'll be a big orange dogpile on the way to the College World Series.
You know, this is a special thing. You get rolling in during the year, and I appreciate the support. But people that have to do this for a living, you would never say, we're going to go to Omaha or let's just get to Omaha. It's a grind. It is a grind to get there. So you got to focus on the grind. But now that we have kind of punched our ticket, Vol Nation's been a big part of us getting there. I mean, the fan support, you know, today and other days, I hope people can make the trip. It's a fun, fun deal, and they do it upright up there.
That was Tennessee head baseball coach Donnie Vitello yesterday after the Vols punched their ticket to Omaha, a 15-6 win against LSU yesterday. The Vols back in Omaha for the first time since 2005. Joe, let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will from Nashville texting in. Joe, I'm a big fan of yours. You do an excellent job, and I particularly love your jabs at Jared. But I was at the finals for the College World Series in 19 and went to every game. Was also at 15 as well. In 19, it was 60-40 Vanderbilt fans. I was shocked. I thought it would be 70-30 Michigan. But as Port says, they just don't care about baseball. In 15, it was 60-40 in favor of Virginia, I thought. This coming from Will in Nashville.
I really enjoy your work, especially when you rip on Jared Stillman. That is no, thank you, Will. Okay, well, look, I thought it was a little more Michigan, but I could be wrong even in the moment. Two, you know, you're asking me to remember something clearly from 2 years ago. That's also a potential issue here.
Your assignment is tonight to go back and watch every pitch of the Vanderbilt-Michigan series and hand count every person in the crowd. See what tally you come up with.
Well, that sounds great, but maybe not. But how about other Vanderbilt fans, and don't be homers now. Don't be homers. Who were there? What do you recall of the crowd distribution? I thought it was a little bit more Michigan, but again, I mean, if you're almost filling half of that stadium, like you had a big turnout. Vanderbilt had a great turnout. And the end of the night, all the Michigan fans are out of the stadium, so we're on the field. They're doing the trophy and all this stuff, and then you really had a sense for the Vanderbilt showing. It was excellent.
What will be the reaction from Vols fans who have not watched any college baseball for the last, 16 years when they realize that James Franklin will probably be there rooting on Vandy?
I sense a little bit of I feel like Porth has gotten the
there was some hostility there.
You got some shots.
Those Vols
to take.
Fans who I don't know, haven't watched college baseball in the last 16 years.
Jeez. Is there a Vols fan in particular who's bothering you out there?
Like, are you looking at me?
No.
Okay.
It's not Robbie? Okay.
I don't know.
You're sensing the bandwagon.
I'll tell you a break.
Element of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The bandwagon. Well, hey, you're not wrong, but you know what? It's kind of like, look, I rip on Blackhawks fans, and I always will, because I remember the 90s and the 2000s when they didn't realize they had professional hockey in the city of Chicago. And it was like, oh, yeah, I got my Chris Chelios jersey, you know. But hey, that's what sports is, right? You
Tony
win,
Monty.
You win, and they will come.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be supporting. I'm just pointing out a fact.
Yeah, it's fair. It's all fair game.
My blood will kind of boil a little bit when I see James Franklin. That's for sure. I'm sure, he's a nice guy.
He will be there.
Oh, he'll be there.
You can count on that.
He's always there.
He's a big time friend of Tim Corbin.
Yep,
which is good. That's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
So. Did you, as a Tennessee fan, did you just despise James Franklin when he was Vanderbilt's head coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure did.
just because.
I couldn't even really tell you why. I think it's probably just because he made them good.
Yeah. I mean, Frank,
he's kind of.
James Franklin rubs people the wrong way.
He's kind of a little arrogant.
Yeah. He rubs people the wrong way. Yeah. There's no doubt. There's been times when he said stuff I'm like, really? He's good, though. Good coach.
He is a good coach. So, speaking of football, look, we've seen the passion of this Tennessee fan base, whether it's bandwagon or not, that Porth is throwing people under the bus for. They have come out in support of this Tennessee baseball team. You're wondering if this could be good for the football program as well. Explain what you mean by that. How could this be good for the Tennessee football program?
Well, I think winning can be good. I think the ups and downs of an athletic department, you go through any like college athletic department, you're going to find, well, hopefully, some good programs. Probably going to find some that are underperforming, different levels of that. But I feel like when you have a big winner like this, first of all, I don't know that there's some huge bottom line impact. Although, just overall donors to the athletic department, like they might maybe feel a little better now because this is happening. I mean, everybody wants to latch on to this winner. It will be a massive bandwagon situation. But again, that's what happens when you do something extraordinary like this team has done, like this program has done in 4 years under Tony Vitello. I just think it can't be a bad thing to win, to have a big winner in your athletic department. The more of that, the better. And I do think it demonstrates the potential again of the football program, just in terms of the fan base. There just aren't many college programs. You know, there aren't many universities out there that can claim a fan base like this one. And that comes with all the ups and downs, you know. Tennessee fandom. We see a variety of examples.
Yes, we have.
Tennessee fandom. But the bottom line is it is a big, powerful thing. And this has kind of reminded everyone of that again.
Well, I think so. And I think if you're Josh Heupel, I think you knew this to some degree. But I don't know. Look, I don't know how closely Josh Heupel has paid attention to Tennessee's football program over the years. I mean, he's been doing other things. He went to Oklahoma. It's not like he played in the SEC. So I don't know how closely he's watched this. Like, I think this past weekend and the regional tournament as well, for baseball, a pretty good idea of, number one, how passionate the fan base is. But you can multiply that by about 400, and that's what football is. So if you can ever get it back to a place where it's respectable and consistently competitive, the fan support's going to be there. The environment is going to be there. I mean, even the environment in football, when the crowd's been full in some of the years where they've not been very good, you play some of these big games and the checkerboard kneeling and all this stuff and having recruits in, like it's still a pretty daunting place for other people to come into until they have to play against the actual football team on the field.
Well, again, that BYU game will
good Lord.
Just a reminder of, like, first of all, fans had every right at that point to be like, you know what, I'm out on this team. They just lost to Georgia State, you know?
Yeah.
A week earlier. And still, they created an environment that you would be hard-pressed to find anywhere in college football for BYU. This wasn't like BYU with Ty Detmer as a Heisman winner. It wasn't BYU with Steve Young. It was just a so-so BYU team.
Zach Wilson was there.
That's true. Zach Wilson was there. I mean, and then the fact that you...
We didn't know that at the time, he was going to be.
No one couldn't have cared less. But then, you know, of course, then the result of the game was also an example. It was like the great example of what the fan base is, and then also example of how much they've had to suffer.
Just repeatedly kicked in the groin as a Tennessee fan. That was another example of that against BYU when we come back.
So you can't blame these people for getting on the bandwagon.
That's right. You're exactly right. When we come back, we got a giveaway for 615 Day tomorrow that I think you're going to be really interested in, and that involves also displaying a little bit of your athletic ability as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got 615 Day coming up tomorrow. Partnering with the Nashville Predators and 102.5 The Game will be at Fordyce Center in Bellevue tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So make sure you drop on by. Lots of activities that will be taking place tomorrow. And Ryan Porth, one of those activities that we'll have tomorrow is a center ice shot giveaway.
That is correct.
I believe happening tomorrow afternoon. So basically you go to center ice at Ford Ice Center. You shoot the puck. There is an opening that you've got to get the puck through. And if you hit it, you're going to win a gift card. So we've got an opportunity for you.
Well, it is a $100 gift card to Duncan.
Yep.
And opening night tickets for the Preds season in October.
Not bad.
So that is the grand prize and a Preds prize pack as well. And the winner of this contest will win that grand prize.
Absolutely. So you can have that opportunity to be at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue tomorrow.
And we're about to put out a trivia question.
We are.
We're going to reward five people, the first five people who answer it correctly on the text line.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Thank you. I'm proud you picked up on that. And you must be able to be at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue tomorrow at 4:45.
Yes.
To check in all that.
P.M.
P.M.
Yes, not A.M.
Yes.
P.M.
4:45 P.M.
Very important.
And then the center ice sweepstakes is starting at 5 o'clock.
That's right. So if you can do that, if you can be there at 4:45 p.m. tomorrow at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue to participate in this center ice shot giveaway, text in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com the answer to this trivia question. And today's trivia question is this. Can you name where Joe Rexroad and Robbie Stanley are alumni? How would you say that? Alums? Let's just go with alums. Where we are alums. Our universities to where we went to college. Joe Rexroad very vocal about his. I've been less vocal about mine, although I've said it a few times. So you got to pay attention here on the show. But if you can name the schools where Joe Rexroad and Robbie Stanley attended college on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first five people to correctly guess those answers will win the opportunity to participate in this center ice shot giveaway tomorrow at 4:45 at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue.
Sorry, you got to be able to show up. So
yes.
Even if you know it, don't answer unless you can show up and take part in this.
That's right. So 615-737-1025. How do you think you'd do in a center ice shot giveaway? Do you think that you could at least hit the net?
I don't know. I'm trying to think the last time. I mean, first of all, again, I've never ice skated. So, yes.
Which, again, is incredible to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just how it is. In the wintertime, I'm playing hoops. Play a little floor hockey. Not very good. Not very well. So, I don't know. I could be embarrassingly bad. I don't know if I'd be chase-ish with it. But
we are going to have to get video of Chase doing
this. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a must.
Watch him just center
just
it.
Just sink
know?
It.
I nailed it last year.
He did. I remember that.
Nice.
In the little hole. And and won money for charity.
Good. Good
there
job.
There you go.
Okay.
We've got people breaking the rules in this competition already, but that's okay. We'll continue to monitor that.
Wait, what are they doing?
I can't tell you right now because then people will go and look. But people are breaking rules. They're giving away answers.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Okay. I'm seeing some people are okay.
All righty. We'll see how it goes.
I'm seeing some wrong answers and some right answers.
That's what we're here for. There's a lot of that on the text line every time in the trivia question. Joe, Titans minicamp getting underway this week. What are a couple of things you're looking for with Titans minicamp? I believe officially getting underway Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week for the Titans.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and assistants talk today, and then we'll have the three practices the next 3 days. Well, certainly. Probably going to watch a little bit of Julio Jones. You know, it's not quite complete frenzy this week, but still, if you have Julio Jones out there and you have A.J. Brown out there, you know, and you have the full complement, what's that look like in some of those team reps? But you know, watching for other guys. Those tight ends, to me, really important after Firkser and Swaim. The young corners you mentioned earlier, you know, Fulton. I mean, Molden is back out there now. You know, it's more – you probably get more out of watching skill guys than you do the guys in the trenches, but I still want to see Dylan Raduns and how he looks in pass protection reps and things like that, and where is he playing, who is he playing with. it's very limited in terms of what it means even for camp. But some of these reps, they do want like to do best against best, and who's where on the field. I mean, some of those, and certainly some of these matchups. I mean, just some of the like passing drills when some of these corners get to go against A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Great reps for them.
I can't wait to see. You know, we thought Julio Hoopla was pretty high last week when after the trade. To see him actually go up against other people in practice individually, one-on-one. Some of the videos you'll take, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be great.
Yeah, well, like, you know, in team, we can't take video.
That's true.
So I could not – I would have loved to have taken video of the movie put on Breon Borders last week.
Yeah.
It was brutally unfair to Breon Borders. But, yeah.
We love Breon Borders here on the show, by the way.
Yeah. If those happen in individual drills, I think hopefully we can shoot those. So if so, you know who's going to have the best video of it.
Oh, it'll be you. That's for sure.
Elite videographer.
Now, we'll see if we can work on your roster picture-taking skills this week, too. Last week, the picture of the Titans roster sideways on Rex Rhodes' Twitter account.
And a little foggy.
A little bit foggy.
I think that was artistic, but that's fine.
It was good. Well done on that front.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see. Look, Christian Fulton going up against Julio Jones. Like, is A.J. Brown going to be on the field for minicamp? I don't know.
He was out watching
last
week, so he's around. So I would guess he might be out there. I would guess he'd be out there some.
He's probably – I would assume he's recovered pretty much from that knee surgery at this point. It's not a very invasive knee surgery that he had.
Yeah.
So
I think he'd be out there.
Maybe potentially both of them being on the field at the same time.
Derrick Henry, too.
Derrick Henry out there as well. By the way, more workout videos from Derrick Henry over the weekend where he's jumping up in the air and – chucking an exercise ball to the ground. It's pretty impressive.
Was it better than the box jump one?
I don't know. It's hard to beat. The box jump one's pretty good. What was that, like a 54-inch box jump?
Is that right?
I think so. It's pretty incredible.
Unbelievable.
Not bad. Guy might have a future in this game.
We've had two winners for the trivia question.
Well, we need three more. So if you know the answer to the question of where Joe Rexrode and I went to college, and by the way, we did not go to the same place, if that helps you out.
I mean, I can give a hint.
There have been a couple guesses with just Vanderbilt.
Oh, they think we're smart enough to go to Vanderbilt. That's cute.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Couple of...
I can tell you it's not Vandy. Here's my hint.
We're pre-law. Pre-law, pre-med. You know, same difference. I can give a hint, though.
Well, we got about 4 seconds, so do it quickly.
They played in a very big sporting event.
They did.
A few years ago.
There may or may not have been
an upset
involved.
Very impactful around here.
That's right. Well, that does it for us today. We'll update the winners tomorrow. We'll be live at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.